Friday, May 26, 2017. This is the 404 Show. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Jeff Bacalar. To my right,
Russ Frushtick,
The same Russ Frushtick you've come to know and love. And across the way, Jill Schlesinger.
Yeah, hey, Jill.
Yeah, back in the saddle again. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you sound really good. That means something's wrong.
No.
What are you so happy about?
Because wait a second, because the last time I was on the phone with Jeff earlier this week, just as friends, I was having a, I was having a shit fit meltdown.
Okay. Yeah.
With him.
Oh, there was some stuff.
There was things that were happening
to Jill.
Yeah.
And so he basically encountered the psycho bitch from New York, Jill.
Oh.
Not directed at him.
You were just having a bad day.
I was having an altercation with another party, and I was explaining to Jeff my feelings.
Yeah.
And he was like, go after him. Do it.
Totally.
He was like, totally goading. But I'm in a good mood today because I am taking 2 weeks off.
Oh, that's
lovely. You're always on vacation. So, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, life's a vacation.
That's what it is for you.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have to wake up early this morning because the dogs are with their godmothers now. They do. And we had to go away for the weekend.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to wake up early for TV, for radio, for the dogs. What time did I get up? Just, you know,
seven.
I'm in a hotel, by the way.
Yeah.
I was in a hotel.
Why are you in a hotel?
I'll tell you in a second. What did you got, seven?
Yeah, I would say 7:30.
Right. So I slept all the way in till 5:14.
Oh,
whoa.
And I was out with a friend last night and drank too much.
Yeah.
So I was already like, I
should be for a restful sleep.
Terrible.
Restless.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
All right. So I have to be out of my apartment because we're getting our floors redone. This is going to be the real estate show. The show when we talk about our real estate.
So what are you doing? Because I'm all about that now. I'm HGTV property brother Jeff.
Okay, here
and
we go.
You're getting more like a second cousin, I think, to the property brothers.
Yeah, they're a little taller than me. There's no real, you know, relation there.
Are you
doing mahogany? Are you doing
Do you know that HGTV has the highest demo of earners of any cable channel across the spectrum?
So you're saying people who watch HGTV
make
are richer?
Make the most money. I guess that makes the most sense.
But it's insane.
I would say Bravo is probably up there too.
Who?
Yeah, Bravo, maybe. But I know that HGTV is like insane
it's
off the charts.
Who has the money to spend on houses?
Yeah, it's like
people
rich people's porn.
Right,
like just
exactly.
Regular people just watch porn.
Or you could just watch
rich
the Food
people,
Network. Anyone could afford
I was gonna
a
say,
bag of flour.
Yeah, but I was going to say maybe Food Network would also be in that thing too, because it's like if you're that, you know, obsessed with like high-end luxury food.
Yeah.
But you're cooking yourself. It's not that expensive.
Yeah, I don't
know.
So that's interesting. I didn't know that. But how did you know that?
I have a friend who's in the cable business, and her job is basically she acquires properties for cable channels.
Oh, she's like a scout for those shows?
Yeah, for those shows. Oh. And she goes out and buys movies. She goes to like, it's got the coolest job. She goes out and goes to film festivals.
So it's acquisition.
And buys it. So
whoa,
it's acquisition.
Good gig.
So she's now like head of acquisition at BET, right?
Cool.
Oh, very
and so
cool.
I was asking her once about, you know, different cable channels, and she's like, let me tell you something. If I were a financial advertiser, what I would do is I would break through the clutter. I would not be on CNBC. I would not be at these sites. She's like, go to HGTV. She's like, the demos are insane.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
I believe it.
It's kind of cool. Like, it's a good idea. She's like, why would you be on I mean, I guess CNBC has a high demo also, but you're like just shoved in with so much other stuff. It's hard to differentiate.
What about the gold sellers that we see on TV?
Yes, they're very popular, but not for the upper end. You know what else is a big, used to, I don't know if it still does, the Golf Channel.
You know
sense.
Who loves the golf channel?
Who? Rich people.
Dylan Bacalar.
Oh, well,
really?
He's a big golfer now.
He is obsessed with golf. No,
like,
he just thinks like everyone's just throwing balls in water.
I feel like there's not a lot of movement in the golf.
It doesn't matter, dude. I'll show you a video when we're done here. Yeah, he likes hockey, but golf is like the thing this
month. I think
we've
got to get a club in his hands, see if he's got some
game. So we just bought like a Fisher-Price kind of starter set,
uh-oh.
And this weekend he's going to hit the links.
Tiger 2.0.
Maybe,
in certain aspects.
That's generous. We'll see how it works.
I love it.
He's obsessed with like, he just goes like, ball. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Great.
It's funny. He might be the most excited golf fan ever.
I know.
Yeah.
Golf is like, if golf knew about him, they'd love it. They'd
is
be
he,
like, oh my God.
Is he scratch yet or is he working there?
He's on
like
his way.
He's like a 10 handicap. He's
fine. He's on his way. 10 handicap is fine. He's on his way.
Be good. All right, so let me get back to my floors.
Okay. Mm.
They're not mahogany. They're not that fancy.
They're bamboo.
What's the primo wood? Is it mahogany?
I think bamboo.
Redwood? Yeah, I think we've got bamboo, but I just tell you the truth.
Can you cut redwood into floors?
I'm sure
you can make any wood into a floor.
You can do anything you want, whether it's durable or not.
Sure.
And I walked in the apartment. The guys are like, sand. It's brutal. It's like the worst job ever. So I don't even know how much it costs because it's like folded into a lot of other things we're doing in the apartment. But I literally thought to myself, I could not pay these people enough to do this horrible job.
It's like a
terrible job.
Yeah. Anytime there's any kind of sanding, what gets into the air and stuff, it's terrible.
And they're wearing that teeny, tiny mask.
No, it doesn't
mask.
Do anything.
How could that do anything?
What do you know? It definitely does something.
It does?
Yeah,
you sure?
I mean, yes, I'm sure. When you wear a mask.
Because I was like, all right, I went like Jewish mother on them. Like, why aren't the windows open? There's too much dust in here. You guys, this is dangerous. I was like freaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked at me like I was an idiot.
Wearing a mask is definitely helpful.
It helps.
If they weren't wearing masks, I'd be upset.
Yeah, no, they were all wearing masks, but I thought it's brutal. Anyway, so we're doing that. We're painting. So we had to like get them in to start their work. So
you're doing everything at once.
Yes.
Is the idea.
Yes. Okay. And then, so we like decided, well, I'm leaving for a couple of weeks, but I couldn't leave till tomorrow morning. Going to my college reunion.
Got it. Good. Hence the hotel.
Hence the hotel. 10 year times three. It's my 30th college reunion, right?
Damn.
And it's wild because you look at the pictures of everyone, like where you were then, because people have been posting stuff.
Sure.
Makes you laugh so hard. Literally, I forget that I graduated in the 80s. A lot of big shoulder pads, a lot of bad hair. And it's so lucky to be a guy in college because it's essentially the exact same uniform, whether it's 1980,
shorts.
Right, 87, 97, 07. It's not that different.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so lucky. But I'm hopeful that they're all going to be bald and fat.
It's true. You could wear from like the 40s on, you could have worn a black t-shirt and blue jeans and never been
let's say the 60s.
That's what you do.
Let's say the 60s. Because I think my father had to wear a jacket and tie in college.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Fancy.
So fine. For the last 50 plus years, you could have gotten away with wearing just a blue pair of denim jeans and black shirt.
If I traveled through time right now wearing this, I think I'd be fine.
I think so too. Maybe not the glasses.
Yeah, maybe
not the glasses.
No, in the 60s.
Yeah, probably.
Glasses, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they'd know I was a dork, but that'd be pretty obvious.
You would come back with like 7 kick me signs on your back.
You guys have to show, when we get off the air, I'm going to show you this picture that a friend of mine sent me from like senior year of college where I am wearing the scariest bad glasses I have ever seen in my life. And I look like dork times 12. But it's fun. You know what? I'm going to be psyched about it. And our nephew's also graduating from Brown. So it's like a combined weekend.
That's very nice.
That's great.
So I don't know. Like, have you gone to a reunion or not?
No. So I guess I didn't. I just like totally. I don't stay in touch with my high school friends for the most part.
This is my college.
On Facebook. I understand for your college. And then college, it's weird because I'm still close friends with like a lot of college friends, but I just like see them on the regular. So it's weird to think that I would travel to like.
Where'd you go to school?
Emerson in Boston. Yeah.
What about you, Jeff? Have you gone down to do a reunion or not, a college reunion?
I've only been down there once since I graduated in 04. I know, that sounds shitty, right?
No, it doesn't.
Whatever, what onus do you have?
I don't care, it doesn't matter. Well, it's just interesting because there are some places where like a reunion becomes a big deal. And I think the further away you get from that time when you graduated, you're right. Like you kind of lose track. You have like a couple of friends.
Right.
Instead of having like your posse of a dozen friends and you
the
see each
on
other,
the floor
everything like kind of like whittles down. And, you know, now I speak to a couple friends. So it's funny. I went to like a cocktail party in New York because we were doing some fundraising crap for it. And I saw these people and I'm like, oh my God, it's a long time. Like, I feel like I'm still in college, basically.
Okay.
Except, you know, the drugs are not as good. Like, instead of one
they're
kind
better.
Of. It's true. I mean, I drink my drugs instead of take my drugs.
I'm sure you're drinking better booze than you were.
Exactly.
Then.
Absolutely. I wasn't a big drinker in college. But anyway, so it's funny, like, when you, I don't know, like, you, like, you're frozen in time.
Yeah.
You go back and you see these people.
And you see, and then what's amazing is whenever I see someone I haven't seen in a very long time, you instantly get transported. You time travel. And you're like, oh, right, their nose looked like that.
Mm.
You know, this and that. It's weird.
But that's Facebook for me, like every day.
Well,
I'm like, this person. Yeah, oops, that didn't turn out so well.
That's a very funny thing because I guess, so when did Facebook start? What
like
year?
2004 or so.
Right. So let's say 14,
sure.
So whatever, say 13 years, right? I guess that like that has really changed the game because it used to be when I went to my 15 year reunion, and no one had seen each other in 15 years. That is startling.
Yeah. It's like you jumped in a time capsule.
Like,
that,
like, oh my God. Also, you're like 15 years out, you should look okay, essentially, right? Yeah. You're in your 30s.
Yeah, pretty much going to look the same.
I didn't go to my 25th, but friends of mine were like, that is a rough year. So I can't wait to see this year. It's going to be quite interesting. I think a lot
Everyone's going
to
be like, oh, Jill, you look fantastic. Yeah, Jill, I hope so.
What's your secret? What is the magic?
Yeah. The magic?
That is a great question.
Is it raw eggs? Is it the Rocky diet?
It's waking up at 5 a.m. every day.
It's M&M. It's meditation and medication.
Okay.
Right?
There you go.
So that's, no.
Equal parts.
You know what it is? Don't you think it's genes? It's like in your genes.
I think it's 75%
genes. I literally thank God that my parents both had small asses. I mean, that's kind of like the first place to start. If you know, if it's just an easy thing, like, thank God they were kind of narrowish people.
Narrow-assed.
Narrow-ish.
Yeah.
So it's genes. I mean, then again, my dad died 3.5 years ago, so not great on longevity on that side. But I got to roll the dice with my mother.
Okay. Wow.
Take a chance.
So anyway, big week, then big weekend.
Yeah.
Then...
So you're in a hotel now.
Yeah.
Nice hotel? Nice place?
No, shitty hotel.
Shitty hotel.
Because I would not, because I could not, look, I'm not spending $800 to stay in my city. It's ridiculous.
There's probably a common.
Well, I wanted to be close to my apartment because I had to be able to go back and forth to just kind of check a couple of things.
Right.
So like, I had like passed this hotel in the neighborhood a few different times. I'm like, no, let me go online. So there were three different hotels in the neighborhood. I checked them. This was the cheapest. I'm like, done.
Was it hourly?
Basically.
Oh, no,
but you know, it's hard to get a hotel room in New York. I guess I could have done like Airbnb. I guess
it's not
honestly
hard to get a hotel room. You just have to pay a lot.
Yeah. Like, how much would you think is a good price for a hotel room in the city?
What quality?
$250.
Well, what quality?
$250.
Is that right on the money?
That's what I said. I was like $249, two nights.
I think that's probably like Hampton Inn rates.
Yeah, and you know, it's not. Like, so this is a big step up from that. So I did a little bit of like a tiny bit of research. I mean, it's so funny. So a tiny bit. But the funniest thing is my friend's like, what about Airbnb? I'm like, nah, I don't want to be
doing it. Have you ever done it?
No. And you know that I've never
done it. I do it a lot.
I know. You guys are like, I have to do it.
But I've never done it either.
It's cool.
It would be less than $250, right?
With cleaning rates, how long are you staying there for?
Two nights.
It'd be pretty close to comparable.
And it would have to be in the neighborhood.
For a place that you'd want to stay in, it'd be pretty close.
So
it pays off longer term. Airbnb makes sense if you do like a week-long stay because you only pay one cleaning.
But just a few nights, maybe not.
Yeah.
So then I'm telling my friend this, the acquisition queen of BET. Mm. She's like, I'm in LA for 2 weeks. Why didn't she just use my apartment? I'm like,
is she close by?
Close enough.
Oh, man. That's a drag.
I'm sorry, Jill. You're going to have to stay at a weird hotel for 2 nights.
I'm going to stay at a Marriott in Providence, Rhode Island for 2 nights also after this.
I feel like you must know a lot of people that are like, I'm not ever at my apartment. Just pop right in like cities around the world.
I could do that in certain places, like definitely East Coast, West Coast for sure. Florida, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's Florida.
Chicago.
But then you're in Florida.
Yeah. I guess I could do it in London.
Nice.
I probably can do it. I don't think I could do it in Paris. I used to. Oh, but our nephew, who's graduating, he's going, I mean, charmed life, right? He's doing a 2-year PhD or master's master's program. First year London, second year Paris.
Wow. Damn. Pretty good.
Not bad.
I mean, come on.
Woo. Yeah, that's nice.
Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about you guys. I want to hear about, this should really be the show. We've just come off of a incredible week of data about real estate, and you guys are both like diving headfirst in the real estate
market. So what's your data? What kind of data you got?
What do we come off of?
Where
did this data come from?
Well, they're essentially sort of a group of reports that come out monthly. Mm-hmm. So one is housing starts and building permits. Okay. So that's for new homes, right?
Okay.
Then there's existing home sales, new home sales, and then next week we'll get prices, but we do have prices. So I'm going to give you like big picture what's going on.
And this is state by state or is this nationally?
So it's nationally, but it's off. But when the pricing stuff comes out, that'll be state by state. It'll be actually metro market by metro market, which is cool.
Okay.
So here's the deal. The pace of activity for both new and existing home sales has slowed down because there's just no inventory.
Tell me about it.
And that's what you guys are facing, and I know it's so hard. So existing home sales sliding, new home sales sliding, but here's the key factor that you just have to keep in mind is that housing inventory is right about at a two-decade low.
God damn it.
That is unbelievable.
Why is it going to be like that right now?
I know. Well, you have one. Thank God you actually have a house.
Yeah, you're fine. You could.
What do you mean?
But in other words, it's harder to be, if you're the person who's renting and you really want to buy, that's a shitty situation, right?
But then you just keep renting.
Yeah, but rents are starting to rise pretty at a good clip.
And it's also like, well, here's the situation I'm in. I'm in a rent stabilized apartment. It's not cheapest, but it's very maintainable, and it can only increase 1% each year.
Love that.
It's great situation.
That's amazing.
But at a certain point, like, here's what I don't want to have happen is I'm renting and then I need a bigger place 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
And then suddenly housing prices are 20% higher, whatever it is.
And you also want to enter the market at a time when mortgage rates are still low.
Right.
And
mortgage rates are low,
that's, I think, the issue. So why is, this is kind of a cool thing. I'm going to wonk out on you guys. You're going to love this.
Wonk out?
Wonky.
Yeah, like, like a
nerd out.
Wonk out before us.
Okay. Why is inventory so low?
I know.
Why?
I heard this from a very close friend I trust.
Is that me?
Perhaps. People are aging in place.
That's one reason.
I said to somebody after you told me that, and they were like, they said that to me.
Does that mean
the front door?
They're not moving when they get older?
I don't know. We're not aging in place. We're just standing still.
Is that what that
getting
means?
Older.
Okay, so there's three big trends.
Okay.
The biggest trend is that early in the financial crisis recovery, right?
Sure.
The housing market melts down.
It's like 2010 now.
Yeah, 10, 11.
Okay.
Because the housing market didn't really bottom till about 11.
Sure.
It's crazy. So you know what private equity companies do? They go out and they get rich people to give them a bunch of money, and they say, we're going to make investments in something.
Mm-hmm.
And so those big private equity companies gathered together money, and they bought a crap load of houses.
Sure.
That were in auction, underwater. They bought huge portfolios
from
banks.
Knowing that things would bounce back.
Well, maybe not knowing, but thinking.
Sure.
Right? They took all of that inventory, and that inventory came off the market. Mm-hmm. Right? They own it.
Oh.
And what they usually, what you would think is like a private equity company would then be like, okay, let's wait and see. Prices go up, and then we'll get out.
Right.
So something different happened with them, which is they said prices went up. They didn't go up that much. We're going to hold on to it and rent it. And that rent, and then they started pushing rents higher in a lot of the most distressed markets.
Yeah.
So you can have a market like Detroit where it's crazy expensive to rent because they gobbled up all of this first-time homeowner inventory.
Oh, I see.
And they jack these people.
And a lot of people are not necessarily looking to buy a home there, but maybe they have to rent for their job at Ford or whatever.
Or maybe they couldn't buy because they would they don't have a down payment.
Right.
They don't have good credit. So anyway, all that inventory came off and it is now performing beautifully.
Yeah, sure.
So if you're a big private equity company, you've got this amazing property that's yes, it's increased in value, but you know what? If you just hold it, it's just beautiful cash flow. Pops
just keeps
out.
Coming in, yeah.
So that's one part.
China. I feel like China's one of them.
Nope.
No?
Second part
is not the
aging in place thing is like a real deal.
Okay.
Which is baby boomers. It was thought that baby boomers were going to sell their homes, downsize,
move to Florida.
Move somewhere. Or even if you didn't go across state lines, you'd move somewhere else.
Sure.
I feel like I know a lot of older couples, friends, parents doing that. Like
My mom moved to the city.
Moving.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some are doing it. Statistically, not enough.
Okay.
Because those homes are not opening up and they're not on the market.
Okay.
A lot of the houses I see are that.
Yeah. And because they want to get out.
Right.
And a lot of them had to wait until their own financial lives kind of recovered to feel like they could act, because so many delayed retirement, right?
Yep.
Then they said, well, where am I going to go?
Mm.
Right? Well, I don't want to go to Florida, and I don't want to go here, and I want a guy to go to a 55-plus community in a metropolitan area. And they're like, wait a minute. I'm going to sell my house for $600,000. I'm going to go have to pay $450,000 to get in the place where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pay tax on some portion of this. I got to move. It's a schlep. You know what? When it's all said and done, why don't I just keep what I have?
Yeah.
Make it a little bit easier to live in here. Put my first bedroom on the first, put my master on the first floor, and I'll hang out here for a while.
Yeah.
So that's the aging in place. And the next group of people who are not moving are people who are seriously oh my God, I have the best mortgage rate right now. I'll just make do. I'm kind of scared that the whole housing thing feels bubble-ish.
Sure.
I don't want to move up. Normally, you'd have your starter home and then you'd move up.
Yeah.
I don't want to move up. I don't want to take on that extra responsibility financially. Things are good right now.
Yeah.
No.
So that would be like if Jeff wasn't moving, he would just staying in the same place. He was.
Right. So what do you think is going to happen? Ultimately,
I think that inventory is going to increase. Because,
well, if all
because,
the boomers die, then we have a whole bunch of houses.
Thank God for that. You know, I think that there's two things that are happening. One is that more millennials are actually saying, yes, I want to buy a house. Mm-hmm. So that is a change, right? Because there's like a little, there was a period of time where people were like, oh, my parents got screwed in the housing crisis. I don't want to do that.
Well, it's also people are struggling to actually have enough money to do that.
Like, right.
A lot of millennials aren't even close.
And down payments, that's like a real number, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that you benefited from, Jeff, is you kind of leapt into the housing market probably slightly before you really wanted, were psyched about doing it. You probably would have been a happy renter for a long time.
Yeah, because you were pretty young when you guys bought that place.
Yeah, relatively. I was still in my 20s.
Yeah, so you might. So what's happened now is that you happened to buy at the right time. Prices have increased, so you have equity.
Right, but inventory is still on the other side of that is very low.
And right, so for you to move up, you've got to have some of these people who are going to just say, I'm out of here.
Like, right.
You should pray for a vast plague to hit the aging baby boomers in the areas where you want this to buy.
But not in Hoboken.
This can be arranged. This can be arranged.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's New Jersey. You never know. Now, I mean, but look, it's hard.
It's tough. It's really tough right now.
And so,
we've been looking for 6 months.
And what do you find is that, like, you go to the open house, and then what's happening? Like, are you finding something you like? Are you bidding? What's happening?
There's yet to be a place that we want to make an offer.
Wow.
That's, like, crazy to me, because, like, we literally just started looking, like, this past weekend. Like, literally just started looking. And, like, there's not a ton of places in our neighborhood, but there are, like, enough, and we know what we're looking for.
It's different. It's more of a city. I still think every city is going to have more inventory than a town.
Well, but also the fact that, like, I mean, we saw a place that, like, in an instant, we were 5 seconds in that place. We were like, we could be here for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, could easily see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's just crazy to me that there's that.
Well, I think it's hard, number one, because he is not flexible in terms of, like, school system and this. Like, there are certain, like, non-negotiables.
Yeah. Well,
so, in other words, they're picky.
I mean, I'm somewhat picky about the school system stuff, too. Like, I don't know.
I don't know if we're being,
you're
not
being picky.
We're being selective. I think picky is like one octave above selective.
Are you guys still looking for a pool?
Oh,
that's, don't worry about
it. It's
that.
The worst.
Don't worry about
the worst.
The pool
we had that conversation a long time ago.
And I told them not to do it.
It's not me.
Stacey.
You got to talk to Stacey. It's not me.
Stacey. Not a good idea.
Stacey.
Find a friend that has a pool.
No.
Stacey.
That's the best situation.
You guys. Stacey. We've worked it out.
All right, we're done.
Yeah.
Above ground pool. That's going to be good for property value.
Nope. Just a sprinkler. A sprinkler.
Sprinkler.
Oh, that's good.
And go, like, mooch off your friends who would have a club.
Yeah. We're going to get a cloud.
Yeah.
We're going to get a rain cloud. Nice rain cloud.
What about the municipal? Isn't there, like, a municipal pool?
I had a great municipal pool.
Me too.
Oh, probably the same one.
Uh-huh.
Scarsdale pool. Right? Lovely pool.
Great.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Memories.
It's funny. We saw one place 2 weeks ago where the pool club was basically in their backyard.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, great.
I want to
hear screaming idiots. It's for
and whistles,
4 hours
and
every
like
summer.
Adult Swim.
Are you kidding me?
Whistle.
Yeah.
Oh,
no thanks. No thanks.
My sister was a lifeguard at the Scarsdale pool, by the way, and so she had the motion of like what you do with a lifeguard.
You know, that's
lanyard.
Not that hard. I'm gonna be honest.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not that hard.
I've done it a few times, and I
as
hate
a ref.
Pools. Yes, yeah. As a ref,
a hockey ref.
It's a weird time. I'm very curious for your professional expert forecast. I know you said inventory is going to go up. Well, obviously it's going to go up. I mean,
why?
Like,
obviously.
Maybe not. So you think it will go up?
I think that there are
this summer.
I think by the I don't think it's going to go up precipitously quickly, because part of what drives inventory is new homes, and it takes a while to build new homes.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we know that home builder confidence is up. We know that building permits are starting to rise, and so we know all these things are happening. We also know the economy is slowly improving, and that brings more people into the market. But it also makes, like, honestly, like, the fact that the stock market is higher could encourage some baby boomers to say, hey, you know what? My portfolio, which sunk to $300,000 in the crisis, is now $700,000, and now maybe I have enough money that I can retire, and maybe I will downsize, and maybe it's enough.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people really needed to see their asset base grow enough to really consider what their next phase would be.
Let me ask you something, and this is not a direct one-to-one, and I don't want to delve into politics, but from a financial perspective, in the 90s, during the impeachment process of Clinton, where, what was the market doing?
So there was it was a great question. Near term, there was the market fell. Okay. But then it came roaring back because remember, when was the final impeachment vote?
I think 98? 98. Yeah. Okay. I think it was 98.
So think about what happened. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the world at that time. Mm-hmm. 98, we had, there was a debt crisis, an emerging market debt crisis, but it came back. But we also were in a tech boom.
Yep.
So 98, 99, 2000 were unbelievable. Yeah. And it was like very disassociated with politics. That said, there was one day a week ago where everyone was like, oh my God, the political stuff's real. And like the Dow was down 2% or something.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't a big deal.
Sure.
And everything's come back since then. What I think is interesting to consider is that if there were some lengthy process that resulted in Trump being either forced to leave or stepping down, how bad, I mean, socially, the worst thing in the world for me to imagine is President Pence.
Sure.
Financial, economic, market-wise, I think that the markets would be like stability,
right,
boring, knows how to play well with others, knows how to do
that. A lot of confidence.
That.
Yeah, there's nothing unexpected that's going to come out of his mouth.
Right.
I want to take a break, and then I have another question
for
you.
Who's our sponsor this
about,
week?
Subaru.
Subaru is like gay girl car.
We've discussed that. The opinions of Jill Schlesinger do not represent those of the 404 and about Subaru.
No, but I would do a live read for them.
There you go.
All right, maybe you'll do the ad for us. All right, be right back. Stay tuned. All right, this week we are once again sponsored by the fine people at Subaru. When you are shopping for a car, there's no way to know what it's like to own one unless you talk to someone who currently owns a vehicle.
You need to talk to experts, people that have experience. I don't have experience in buying cars. I don't have experience in most things.
You don't have an experience even driving a car.
But that's crazy. I know how to drive a car.
Well, that's not what I heard. Nevertheless, if you want to know what it's like to drive a Subaru, speak to an owner. That's why you're going to head over to meetanowner.com. It's a brand new website from the people at Subaru, designed for Subaru owners and those who are looking to buy one. These owners are full with interesting stories and insight about owning a vehicle, what it's like driving it through the snow, what it's like driving it through the water, what it's like sitting in one.
Have you done all those things?
I have sat in one and done, yes, in fact, I have.
So there you go. Perfect.
I will not lie. I am always pleasantly surprised as to how well it handles the snow.
Okay.
That's important to me.
That's great.
It is a very good winter.
You don't need chains on the tires.
No, come on. What is this, the 60s?
I don't know.
Meetanowner.com. If you've ever wondered what it's like to drive a Subaru vehicle, go to meetanowner.com. Learn from real owners and see how a Subaru can fit your life. Hey, welcome back to the 404 Show.
How about those Subarus?
How about them, Jill?
I owned a Subaru when I was in college.
I currently own one as well.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
What color is your Subaru?
It's dark navy gray blue.
So it's a butch Subaru.
It is a flannel butch Subaru.
I had a femme Subaru.
What color is a femme Subaru?
It was
like a light blue?
No, it was like a light, almost like a yellowish tan.
Oh.
It was a terrible color.
Sounds like puke.
Well, let me tell you why it was so great. Because A, my father bought it for me, and I'm
lovely.
A like princess girl. And B, it was such an ugly color that he completely bargained with the guy. I remember being there. $4,800.
Yeah. Your dad's like, look at this color.
Used? It was a used car?
Nope.
He's like, oh,
brand
look at this
new.
Color.
So he's saying that a lot, and he's like, oh,
exactly.
We got this puke green car.
Yeah, it's like a puke yellow.
You could do that in the 80s.
Yeah.
Or whenever.
I was living large. No one had a car at college. I was like one of the only people who had a car in college.
And Brown is in the middle of nowhere, so you must.
Well, I wouldn't go crazy there with her geography.
Where is it?
It's Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, it was a small town.
We would call that a tertiary city.
Tertiary city.
I guess it's like a Houston, if you will.
No, it's more. It's smaller. I mean, the state of Rhode Island has a million people.
That's true.
That's it. And I know most of them.
Where have you been?
I've driven through Rhode Island.
That's it.
Yeah, well, don't blink.
And I've actually been to Providence, so
there you go.
I know what the town's like.
So Nassau County is, I think, 800,000 people.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
All those states like the Delawares and the Rhode Islands.
Yeah, they're bitty.
It's why.
Yeah.
Why can't it just, right?
Like, just join forces.
Every time I drive through Delaware, I'm like,
what's
think
the point?
Of how much negotiating power they would have if they just formed into
well,
one super state.
If you look
well,
at,
Delaware's got the no
corporate impact tax.
Yeah.
So it's the state of incorporation. That's like their motto.
Yeah.
But Rhode Island essentially could be just sort of split.
Yeah.
You could say like a little bit to Massachusetts and a little bit to Connecticut, and you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. And then maybe we should make Puerto Rico a state because they're really screwed right now.
Yeah, they are not in a good place.
They could use it. They could use it.
What do you got?
I wanted to get back to you in terms of, like, because of the low inventory of houses.
Yeah.
In suburbia, I think we can plant, because it sounds like in urban, even in Hoboken, the house, there's not a lot of inventory. So
I mean, you're screwed.
Corrected.
By the way, you could get screwed if you, God forbid, you're trying to look in the Bay Area. There is nothing.
Right.
Well, and don't do that.
No.
So the price of all these homes, because of the low inventory, they're a little
higher.
They're
going up. The average list price nationally is up 9% from a year ago. That's a big jump.
That's huge. So now I'm looking to buy in suburbia.
Yes.
Now I will probably be paying a premium if I buy within the next 6 months or so.
To what?
Huh?
A premium to what?
A premium to where it was a year ago.
Yeah, but so what? Like, that's like saying you have to decide.
But is it a discount from a year from now is the question.
Right. No. The question is, can you afford, regardless of where the price is relative to where it was,
I understand.
Can you afford to own this home and be there for a long time?
And
what
answer,
are your alternatives? Your alternatives is you stay where you are, too small. I rent or I own.
Right.
And so if I had to go rent something for the – again, comparable to, like, if you could rent a house in the community where the kid wants to go to school, right? Mm. Or you want him to go to school. And you look at that and you might say, what's better for me, renting or buying? What's the cost of that? Can we afford it based on our income, right?
Right.
And then you have to remember that with a rent, you've got big risk on the upside because rents can rise.
Right.
But with your house, the only thing that's going to rise is property taxes. It can go up, but your mortgage is going to be a fixed rate mortgage.
Yeah.
So that will be fixed for 30 years. So that's really where you have to start thinking, like, what makes sense?
Right. God, you know, the logic here is just really, really powerful.
You think?
It is. It makes sense.
I talked you off the ledge this week.
It's been a couple months.
Waited till the very end to call me? You were crawling up, and then you like looked at the ledge, and then you called me.
I got one phone call.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Who are you going to call?" I'm like, "Ah, oh, I guess it's got to be Angel."
That's it.
She's the only one.
Lifeline.
She's the only one who gets me.
Was this a federal pen or was it just local?
I would bail you out anytime. Oh, that's sweet. Don't worry where I was incarcerated, Russ. That's not any of your
business.
Sorry,
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, that's good. Do we have anything left to talk about with the housing situation?
I just want to say there. So if you're listening and you're like, oh my God, these people are so like 1%-ish trying to talk about housing.
I think it's relative.
It is relative. And I want to say that there are a lot of places where owning a home is incredibly affordable still.
Yeah.
And
it's called Georgia.
Well, I mean, look, even in a place like there are some really awesome things going on in Dallas. There's tons of building going on. Mm-hmm. And you can buy homes in a metro like Dallas or Atlanta that are really better buys than renting. So, I mean, rent is awesome because it's flexibility, right? You can go anywhere you want. But if you're trying to put down roots and you really think you want to be in a community or a place for a while – and rates are still low. Just run the numbers. There's actually the New York Times has a really good calculator.
I saw that calculator the other day. Yeah.
It's great. Of course, someone pointed out to me, someone who at in the broadcast center, who's an anchor, who shall be unnamed at this point, who said to me, but that only goes up to $1 million. Only.
Must be nice.
Were they eating caviar while I was on?
No, but anyway.
My butler said it only was up to $1 million because I don't serve the web.
My butler's shack is over $1 million.
It's amazing. The help is just so hard to manage. So run the numbers.
Yeah.
So when we say run the numbers, the thing that people will think about is they'll say, principal and interest, right? Mm-hmm. The mortgage principal and the mortgage interest. But Jeff and I were just talking about this. You've got to factor in taxes.
Yep.
Blech.
And I know, Blech. It's expensive. And like going off the last budget, we can talk about the budget, but going off of the budget blueprint from President Trump, she chokes on it as she says it, they want to basically say you can no longer deduct state property taxes, local property taxes.
So that's a tax increase.
So it would be a tax increase on people who own property who are used to deducting the taxes on their federal forms.
But he's all about tax cuts. What the hell?
So there are certain – he's willing to let the – that's one tax deduction that he wants to take away.
Okay.
So Jeff and I had a whole lengthy conversation about this because – he said, you know, how likely is that? And I don't know how likely it is.
Yeah.
But most people are not buying a house saying, like, well, if I factor in my tax deduction on my property taxes, but mortgage interest is still preserved under this plan. So principal, interest, property taxes, homeowners insurance. And one more thing, just when you do it, some amount of money, let's say 1-2% of the purchase price, consider that your annual upkeep, because you're going to buy a house and stuff happens.
Yeah.
And so you're going to buy.
That's why I don't want to buy a house. It's too much work.
It is work.
Shut up, man.
Gophers just show up.
Gophers are a huge problem.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why we've hired Marty. He's currently undergoing training for gopher killing.
I love that.
He's gopher the size extermination. Of a gopher. It's not going to work out.
Excuse me, Russ. He doesn't know that. He thinks he's the size of a house. He hunts moles, gophers, groundhogs, and small deer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he doesn't kill any of them.
Yeah.
He just sort of annoys them to the point where they decide to move on.
Well, we have that. My girls, like the squirrels, they love rats.
Yeah. I mean, they're ratters.
Terriers are ratters, exactly.
Yeah, and
mice.
They live in New York.
Yeah, so they know. Love that. They love and rabbits.
Yeah, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Co-op condo.
Oh.
What's your take?
I have an opinion on that because I currently live in a condo.
Okay, you go first.
And I know plenty of people who live in a co-op.
Okay.
And
condo all the way.
I think condo is preferable. I live in a co-op.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass.
There's just a lot of red tape and bullshit.
Yeah. So, but the flip side, obviously, the impression that I've gotten is that co-op, you get more bang for your buck. Do you find that?
I don't know. I'll tell you what I think.
That thought. Meaning what, though? Meaning, like, you get more for your money in terms of the value of the home?
Yeah, or it may be. The amount of space you're getting for what you're paying.
Well, that's interesting. I think it probably depends where.
Mm-hmm.
And I would wonder where you're looking, because there's probably more old co-op inventory that's out there. And people are like, ugh, I don't want to go do that. I want a nice new condo.
Right.
And I don't want to deal with a board, which is a pain in the ass.
Right.
So that I would imagine to be the case. I will say this. Co-ops have like annoying rules, but many of those rules are actually very smart.
Because they maintain a stability in the building.
They really do.
Condos have boards too. Like,
but they're less powerful.
They're less powerful, and it's more of like a communist kind of state
let's talk about our common areas.
Everything done in a condo is done for the greater good of the building, right? Like, you know, no one gets like special treatment.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel, I don't know.
No, the co-op, the problem with the co-op is really just like the rules. Like, you're going to do, I want to do a renovation in the apartment. You have to submit your renovation plan.
It's vetted and
all that stuff. It's a pain in the butt. And, you know, look, in your condo, you have a staff that is like, I don't know how it is. Like,
it's a property manager.
Like, I mean, in our building, we have like a whole staff. It's like, which is great, except that, you know, look, everyone has to get paid.
Yeah.
We have incredibly high maintenance fees.
Yeah.
Incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to support the staff.
And your taxes are included in the maintenance fee.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all stuff I'm learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun and terrible at the same time.
But you know what? Once it happens, it's sort of fabulous.
I mean, the idea that I would like be able to stop thinking about it for the next 20 years is like the nicest thing in the world to me. But the tricky thing right now is like, do I buy something that I can afford like just barely right now with the understanding that I'm going to be making a lot more money in potentially 10 years?
Oh, that's a good question.
So what is the
theory used to be like you should reach for a house.
Okay.
That was like old theory, right?
Sure.
Because, house prices only go up except when they went down.
Right.
So I always like to say, buy the house you can afford today.
Yeah.
Don't count on something good happening in the future.
And then you have extra money in the future to do nice things.
Whatever you want to do. And it's like, it'd be travel, it could be this.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I also just did a segment this week about like home renovations that pay.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is everybody like blows up smoke.
Kitchen.
People blow smoke up their own butts about what they want as opposed to what's real. So there's this great magazine. It's called Remodeling Magazine. Mm. And they do an analysis of the 29 projects and what is the best bang for your buck.
Yeah.
What's number one?
Fiberglass insulation in the attic.
Oh, yeah.
Is that sexy or what? Is that sexy? But,
like, that's the most invisible,
but it's heating costs. You
exactly.
know exactly how much
I get it
every time you put $1 into that project, you get $1.08 back.
Crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Guaranteed.
You know what else? You know what else is a weird, this may be more of like a suburban thing, regular front door replaced with a steel it like a steel front door, like the front door adds quite a bit of value.
Well,
like,
that's pure
safety,
right?
Or visual.
It's safety. It's safety and durability.
Okay. And aesthetic.
So essentially, when you add living space, that does create more value. So what you'll say to me is like, well, we should just do a gut renovation of a kitchen. Mm. And I'd say, let's say that you had that cost $100,000, and you say, but I also want to build a fourth bedroom because we have an attic. You would be better off doing a kitchen remodel.
Right, just reface
thing. Yeah, sure. You get 80 cents back on every dollar you spend versus 65 cents back on a total gut renovation of a kitchen. And then build that bedroom. Because living space does pay off.
Yep.
Especially if you're adding like what becomes like the normal and accepted amount of living space. So if the normal house in your neighborhood is a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom house, and you have three bedrooms, figure out how to do a fourth. So that's how you build it.
So you come up in the search algorithms for that stuff, yeah.
So those are things to keep in mind. And you know what? Like, look, you don't have to do everything at once. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. You find a house and you're like, you know what? I don't love this. I don't love this kitchen, but I could live with this kitchen. Yeah. It's okay. To me, that's a good, that's not
start
a bad
start with the trick. Curtains.
I'll tell you what I would say. Start with a house that has good bones.
Yeah.
Like make sure, and if you're doing an inspection, make sure you do like a real inspection. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I know have been actually hiring engineers to go do an inspection before they bid.
Before the bid.
Yeah. And they say like, we're really interested in bidding. We don't want anything funky to come up.
Yeah.
Let's just do it before we go down the garden
path.
Are
you allowed to do that? What does that cost?
You have to get that. I don't know.
But doesn't the seller have to agree to that?
Yeah. But usually the seller's like, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to sell this place.
Some of the sellers will hire their own engineers to know if there's any problems beforehand.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
I think it's like $1,500.
Oh, okay.
I could be making that up.
I think that's high.
That
you think it's 1,000?
I think it's less, yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
But still, that's a lot of money for a place you might not end up.
Absolutely.
It's, you're throwing it away, essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't even know what the price is yet.
Yeah. That's good gig inspection. I should just do that.
It doesn't sound like the most fun. You got to crawl.
Just walk around houses.
No, you got to crawl into weird places.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
And you know, and it's so funny. Like, they used to do inspections. They'd literally drive by a house. Like, 2004. Here's the inspection. It's like, slow down, 5 miles an hour. Okay, done, bye.
It's standing.
Looks good.
There's no cracks anywhere.
No cracks. Roof looks fine.
Yeah.
No termites.
Yeah, I have a buddy who bought a place 2 years ago, and two houses fell through because of inspection.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird, shoddy, shady
crap. And also, there can be things that come up that can be
especially
fixed.
In houses that, you know, because houses, they're their own thing.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? So my brother-in-law is an engineer, and one of the things that he always says is, like, everything can be adjusted based on price.
Yeah.
The problem is if you're a buyer and you don't really have like the wherewithal to want to go through that, like you got to put a new roof on. Like, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe in this market you would.
Yeah.
Maybe be like, okay, you know what? I'll put in a big deal. I'll put a new roof on.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm very excited for you guys to become landed gentry,
We
say.
It's happening.
It's all happening.
It's a slow process.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's happening. There were a few things you brought to my attention before we went on the program here.
Shameless plugging?
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Let's
get
into it.
First of all, can I just say that I love the 404?
You most certainly can. Jill.
Yeah.
You know, you've confessed your love for our show, and we've confessed our love for your show.
Yeah.
We were on your show.
We were.
Yep. No, we haven't aired it yet.
We haven't aired it yet.
That seems suspicious.
That seems... Because, Russ, doesn't it feel almost like a lifetime ago?
It does.
I mean, we were talking about the Carter administration, and how great everything was going.
Right?
Yeah.
We were talking about Oscars.
Okay. So here's what's happening. The Better Off podcast, which is supported by so many 404 fans. Like, I literally get notes from people who said, I found you on the 404.
Fantastic.
It was so great.
I'm glad that
So we're
going to
air that. As you can imagine, I am a complete slave to my sponsor.
Oh.
And so there are certain episodes that were in the can and have to run until I get to the things that I want. And then something has fallen in my lap.
Here we are.
Yeah, I see. We're
the
second tier.
No. Nope.
We're the table scraps. Yeah.
Nope.
We are John
not to
Franco
me.
Come off the bench to throw some
clean
innings.
We're the 13th string quarterback.
I will say this. This weekend's show, we just dropped on yesterday,
uh-huh.
So I always think of it as a weekend show, but it's
fine.
Not. I was able to interview this wonderful woman, and you will love this so much. Her name is Diana Henriquez. She wrote a book called Wizard of Lies, which was just turned into an HBO movie, the Bernie Madoff book. Yeah. She's the best storyteller. It was awesome. I was rapt listening to her. Yeah, and you guys have had that situation where you're like listening to someone, you're leaning in.
Am I even on a thing?
Yeah. It was great. And she had this unbelievable access to Madoff because apart from his lawyers and his wife, she was the only person to visit him in jail for a while.
Wow.
And so he just sort of was like, all right.
He's got nothing to lose at this point. He's in jail for the rest of his life. So
he spoke to her. And the way she describes him is so fascinating, just like her, the way she kind of came to learn about him, what she tells about the kids. She's like absolutely positively does not believe the kids knew about this.
Yeah.
Does not think that the wife knew about it. And really think, like, she's like, you know what? I think the people who actually should have gotten put in jail were put in jail.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, you know the deal about the sons?
No.
Tragic.
Very
horrible.
Sad.
They're both dead. One died of cancer and one killed himself.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's like Shakespearean. It's intense.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way. Why would a father put their family in that situation and loop them in on the criminal conspiracy? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And anyway, she's fascinating. Yeah. Listen to that show and stay tuned.
And that's up this week.
That's this week.
Awesome.
That sounds great.
And then I did this other really cool thing because, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend, right? Most people think about Memorial Day weekend, they're like barbecue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right?
That's probably not what they should think.
Probably
of.
Not.
No.
It is definitively not.
Or like, oh my God, this is when my summer share starts. This is the beginning of summer. Right.
Oh, the pool's open.
Right.
Yeah.
So I get that. However, it is really a day to honor fallen soldiers, right?
Yes.
So I'm on the board of this organization. It's called StoryCorps. And StoryCorps is basically an incredible archive of our oral history of just humanity, in a sense.
So there's no, is it a specific?
No. So what happens is that StoryCorps was created by a guy named Dave Isay. You should have him on this show.
Okay.
He's unbelievable. And he wanted to see what it would be like to, instead of having a professional journalist interview somebody, to have two people who knew each other interview one another.
Oh, very cool.
And then facilitate that.
Yeah.
You know, have somebody there to help kind of guide the conversation and then take snippets of that and put that out on the radio as a means to hear, to sort of like demystify other people's lives.
Sure.
And sort of like, hey, let's create bridges. Let's like sort of be voice of humanity. We learn something about each other when we hear each other talking to one another.
And it's not like a strict interview. It's like more of friends talking to each other. Yeah.
Exactly. Or tell me about your life. Or you're going with your mother. You're going with your father. You're going with your brother. Something that's really intense. Not every interview gets to air.
Yeah.
And so every recording is 40 minutes. You walk out with a copy of it as the two people, you know, you have the interview, and then a copy goes to the Library of Congress.
Oh.
And it's like the largest oral history of the United States. It's so cool.
How many have they done?
Oh, God. I think like something hundreds of thousands.
Holy
wow.
It's crazy.
Wait, how was that?
Because they had an app that they now have people
that's
can
really
use.
Smart.
It's just so great.
Okay.
So I'm on the board of this organization. I love it. I'm just so into it because, you know, whatever. Like, we all like, or we like spoken word, right?
Sure.
This is like our thing. And I just love the idea that you can hear people who are so different from you and like get catapulted into their lives just by listening to them tell their stories. And they've been different themes. So we've had an LGBTQ series where we have that come out, you know, gay people telling interesting stories about coming out. We also had military voices and we did a big thing around that. We did a 9/11 series. So there's all these interesting series. So I was kind of this, I had this idea that like, hey, StoryCorps, they put out their stories themselves, StoryCorps.org. You can go download that. And they also put a story out once a week on National Public Radio during All Things Considered. And so I said, maybe we can do something with CBS Radio.
Yeah.
So I go to my boss at CBS Radio. She's unbelievable. She loves StoryCorps. And we put together a special Memorial Day edition of StoryCorps, which was military, like basically people talking about either they themselves fought and what they saw about like loss or family members who have lost loved ones in battle. Okay, guys. So, and I voiced it, by the way.
Oh,
I was the narrator.
Oh, that's great.
And I started crying in the middle of the thing. It's so intense.
Yeah.
And so if you want a good cry, and you want to
if you
really,
want a good cry this weekend.
If you want a good cry this weekend, or you want to just sort of say, like, you know what?
Be part of the experience.
Be part of the experience. Have a moment. It's
put
a half an hour. It's
space,
a half
yeah.
an hour. That's sure. it. Right? And you will get chills listening to the guy talk about World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll feel like, oh my God, this happened. These are people. These aren't just, it's not a statistic.
Yeah.
Right.
They're people. And you hear the stories told, like the sister who lost two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They were both in the military.
Wow.
So I will make the shameless plug to listen to our StoryCorps CBS radio venture.
Where? How can people find that?
They're going to find it in show notes.
Oh, okay.
You'll have it in the, show, in the notes. Show notes. So, but there, it covers a wide gamut of categories. It's not obviously focused on
this special
military.
This special,
this special is.
Yeah, but StoryCorps does a ton of different things.
And
they
there's
also
no limit, right?
No, okay. And it's so cool. If you go to StoryCorps.org, you can see animations of some of the stories that they've
cool.
done.
Oh,
yeah.
That's smart.
Really great. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when you hear someone tell a story, it doesn't matter whether you're Republican, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, it doesn't matter who you voted for, you're hearing human stories.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like it.
And that is what I think is so powerful, and I feel like that's what we need to be doing. We don't need to be sitting there, you know, name-calling, which I do all the time, so, you know, I'm guilty of
this. That's fun, but there's
right.
also time, there's
but,
also
but
room
there's
for
there's something that is really beautiful about connecting to humanity.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the organization.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
I know, right?
That is very cool. I will go and check out some of that stuff. I don't know about the crying stuff just yet. Maybe
yeah.
I'll listen to another thing.
Maybe.
Okay.
But that sounds fascinating.
There are people cool. who say to me that when I say StoryCorps, like when we do our annual gala, we play stories that haven't been aired yet, and we have tissues on the table
because
people literally sit in their cars
sure.
and cry. It's intense.
Oof.
It's intense to hear people tell their stories.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They did a project with like incarceration project, and they had a woman tell the story about giving birth to her daughter in prison.
Ooh.
And the daughter just found out she was born in prison.
Wow.
And the daughter interviewed the mother. She's like 10 years old. Fascinating.
Oh my God.
It's so intense, guys. Come on. Like you hear these stories and you're like, you don't know anybody like this.
Yeah.
And you're, this is intense.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's cool, right?
Very cool.
All right.
It's important.
That's my bleeding heart, liberal Jill moment.
That's very important stuff. Thank you for doing that work.
Thank you, Joe.
Oh, my God. This is so great.
I know.
Right on the nose.
Right on the nose. We have to say goodbye.
I have to go to the podiatrist.
You have to go get your feet fixed.
Get my ugly feet
What's
fixed.
What's wrong with your feet?
I don't know.
They'll be fine.
It hurts.
A little shaving here, a little bit of rubbing.
It hurts already.
Oh,
what are you doing next? Looking for houses?
Yes, that's my next.
What about your plans for the weekend? I know you're going away. Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. What about you, Russ?
Very little. Our last weekend was a total chaos, and we need to chill out, do very little weekends.
All right. All right.
What about you, Jeff?
I'm going to try and chill out this weekend.
Going to play some golf with a kid?
Perhaps.
Hit the links.
We'll go hit the links, hit the my buddy's backyard. We'll see how that works. Going to try and do a BBQ thing.
Oh, nice.
I haven't really had a chilled out weekend in a while.
Yeah. That's so good.
We're going to aim for that this weekend.
Will you give my regards to your parents?
Certainly.
And I would say that to your brother, but I don't know him.
That's fine. Have you ever met him, though?
Mm-mm.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I met him briefly. He seemed nice.
Yeah, we'll try and arrange that. We'll bring him in here.
Oh, that would be good.
Yes.
All right.
Very good. Well, everyone have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Go check out the StoryCorps special. And that will do it for us. We're back next time with a brand new show. Until then, I'm Jeff Bacala.
I'm Russ Frostick.
And I'm Aunt Jill.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the 404 show. We will see you next time.